Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, with such great respect and care that everybody was surprised and took note of this. He always used to kiss her hand, and when returning from a journey, the first person he went to see was Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Similarly, when Prophet Muhammad was about to embark on a journey, the last house he always visited to bid farewell was that of his daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. There are many hadiths or narrations from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in which the Holy Prophet calls upon everyone to treat women with respect, with dignity and decency. The Holy Prophet used to say, "The best men of my ummah are those who are most kind to their family members, and those who are not condescending or coarse and harsh towards their family." Other hadiths or narrations relating to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, include the following. "The best of you is he who is best to his wife. Always act kindly towards women. Paradise lies under the feet of the mother." The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was asked once, "Whose right was the greatest on man?" The Holy Prophet replied, "His mother's." Modern Western civilization is based upon money and material gain. In Western society, money and wealth are everything. People are allowed to do whatever they like as long as they don't break the laws of the land. Immoral and unethical behavior is allowed so long as no laws are broken. This is a shame, of course, since Islam does not accept immoral and unethical behavior. In fact, Islamic teachings are based on monotheism, morality and ethics, and Islam sets out clear boundaries for freedom, emphasizing that freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. Islam, of course, always emphasizes the importance of human dignity and human honor. False Western slogans of supporting Iranian women's rights is really a pointer to the fact that Westerners are angry and frustrated with Iranian women, who have delivered a severe blow to Western civilization, exposing the fact that Western women are exploited and abused in Western societies. Frustrated with the fact that they are unable to take on the Islamic Republic militarily, the terrorist United States and Israeli regimes have now resorted to a vicious media campaign against Iran, using the pretext of women's rights. No doubt the Iranian nation will emerge triumphant once more from this challenge, successfully overcoming and defeating the hybrid war which is now being waged by the West against Islamic Iran. The duplicitous and deceitful Westerners have falsely claimed that Islam denigrates women and does not value women. They claim that men and women are not equal within Islam. However, the Lord Most High says in Ayah 1 of Surah Nisa in the Holy Quran, "O humanity, be mindful of your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and from it he created its mate. And through both he spread countless men and women. And be mindful of Allah, in whose name you appeal to one another, and honor family ties. Surely Allah is ever watchful over you." According to Islamic teachings, men and women have been created from a single soul. The duties and responsibilities that have been given to them are equal. For example, with regards to daily prayers, with regards to the Hajj pilgrimage, fasting during the holy month of Ramadan, and social responsibilities such as enjoining good and refraining from that which has been prohibited. Both men and women have equal duties and equal responsibilities. According to Islamic teachings, there is no difference between men and women, and both have been endowed with intelligence and human dignity. According to Islam, men and women complement one another and they complete each other. Both men and women can help each other grow and evolve. Both of them are central planks of society and central planks of the family. The Holy Quran teaches us that the value of each human being, both men and women, lies in their piety and abstinence from wrong and sinful behavior. According to the Holy Quran, men and women who are more pious are closer to God and more valued by God. Today, Iranian women are active in all fields of science, technology, economy, business and society, and have excelled in all of these fields.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to another episode of Muslim Lady. In here, we're talking about the topics that are most interested to Muslim ladies. Well, I am Asma, your humble host, and here with me I have Sister Zainab to help us with some information about the book that we recently have started to talk about. In this book, we are gathering some information about the personal and also social aspects of life of Sayyida Zahra, Salamullah alayha. Since we as Muslim follow Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam because they are the practical example of the perfect Muslim according to the Holy Book of Quran, so we go for Lady Fatima salamullah alayha in order to get more of how to be as a real Muslim lady. So, in today's episode, we're going to talk about some remaining points about beauty, and then we would go for the next topic of this book that we are talking.
And I would like to name that book
Yes, that would be very good.
That's the Ethics and Lifestyle of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, a book by Dr. Muhammad Reza Jabari.
And since the book does not have an English translation, I guess, we are going to just give you the gist of this book through some sessions. And we've been doing that quite some sessions. It's been so long right now.
Yeah.
Being the daughter of the Prophet, of the last Prophet of Allah, she is being so modest. But right now, what we see in our society is that women, if they get, a husband who is so much affluent or a father who is a tradesman or anything.
I just said if he's a business tycoon.
Yeah. If they are like that, they would believe that they must be recognized by every single man and women outside. You know what I mean?
That's why
they do not love to stay modest.
When we talked about the clothing, we said avoid using clothes that make you center of attraction or pick you particularly out from a crowd. When we talked about beauty and personal care, we said to not wear perfumes or anything on your body that makes you again center of attraction.
Yeah, and we said that as women, naturally, we do have this interest, this urge to be noticeable by others. But that doesn't mean that every single man outside should know me.
What is Islam? What does the word Islam mean in itself? Submitting. Yeah. Submitting to Allah. Surrendering. It's basically to surrender. When you're surrendering, okay, I give
up. Exactly.
I give up. Islam knows.
I give everything in my life up for Allah.
Yes. When you know that I love this particular thing, but you give it up for the sake of Allah, that's like surrenderance. That's giving up in the way of Allah. And that's what the word Islam in itself means. Exactly. To surrender. To submit. In our previous episode, we ended with the fact that the very beautiful question that was asked in the mosque among the men, and the answer was given by Lady Zahra salam alayha indirectly, and when it reached to Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, he said that definitely Fatima is a part of me. And what the answer was, what was the question and what was the answer? The question was, what is the best thing for a female? The answer was, the best thing for a female is that she does not get looked by any non-mahram or no non-mahram. She also
does not
look at... That
means she keeps her dignity. All a woman has, all a lady owns, is her dignity, her character.
Exactly. Now today, you are out there in a society. Mm-hmm. You have to work with men. And they are definitely non-mahram.
There are too much of interactions between men and women.
In the metros, in the buses.
Yeah, in the buses.
In the streets.
Because women have brought into society and they've been into public situations more and more.
You have to be in public sector out there. Now, does that mean that you don't have to look at a non-mahram or non-mahram does not have to look at you? I'll explain that, Asma, if you want to go for a
short
break. Yeah,
inshallah. Let's go for a short break, dear listeners, and we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to your ladies. This is Muslim Lady in here with Sister Zainab. We are having some discussions about the book that we are covering, which has been quite actually a long time that we're doing it. We were talking about the beauty, and we reached the point that you actually recited a narrative, a story from Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha. You said there was a question, and that was, what is the best thing for a woman? And she answered that the best thing for a woman is to keep herself away from the gist of it is like this, the talks of other men or women.
And she also herself does not talk about other non-mahrams.
Yeah, and to keep her dignity. What is so much beautiful about a woman is her dignity, and how that dignity is going to be achieved through being modest.
The best thing for a woman is that she does not look at any non-mahram or no non-mahram looks at her. This is the answer she gives. This means, does that mean that you can't go out in the public sector and you can't work? No, it never means that.
Yeah, we were just talking about it.
I would emphasize on the point that you may have different interpretations. That's okay. It's my personal interpretation that we, as women, we are also working in a public sector. We go out in the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
We have conversations with the public.
Inevitably, you're going to meet too much of men.
You know, just to put it in simple words, Asma, it means that you do not act in a society in a way in front of a non-mahram. When she says do not look at non-mahram, it does not mean that while you're conversating, while you're in a meeting, just lower your gaze and all. Lower your gaze when you feel like the situations are going somewhere else.
Sister, I usually when I hear this sentence, I just take it like this way, that we shouldn't look at it as the literal way it has been said. I think it's mostly has a metaphorical connotation.
Exactly. When we have the same verse in Quran, which says to men that lower your gaze, it does not mean that while you're walking on the street, non-mahram women are also coming out. It never means that. Close your eyes or completely put your head down so that you just strike with a towel. to take care of your health, exactly. to take care of the surroundings. You have traffic signals, you have different things you have to look upon, you have to take care. Yeah. When you say that don't look at non-mahrams, is that try to keep your modesty. Try to keep your dignity.
And do not penetrate on the things
because
that you're looking.
Because there is so much, you know, a woman, there was a joke. There was a joke some time ago going on the social media. Some women were talking, they were saying like, when someone wants to propose a woman, woman knows before a man comes and proposes her.
Yeah.
She also knows who is the next person coming up.
Exactly, yeah.
Why I mentioned this joke here, which has a little link to this discussion of ours, is that, yes, you as a woman have these intuitions. What can you get this sense that what other man is thinking about you, or what other man is, what, you know, what kind of viewpoint or the image he has of yours.
You know, we have this feeling, this sense.
Women have this very strong sense.
We as women.
When you have that sense,
try
to ignore, try to avoid, try to, you know, if your covering or your appearance is in a way, that is not keeping, becoming a barrier in the modesty of your Muslim brother. Try to, you know, compose yourself.
Exactly.
Try to, this means this. This does not mean that do not go out, do not work, which is a stereotype, actually.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of like thing, thought in the societies that this is there. We got to treat this thing. We have to keep modesty. Help your Muslim brothers to keep modesty, whatever the way you can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. So, dear ladies, let's go for a short break. And then after that, we'll be back. Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back, Muslim ladies. Well, we were talking about how to keep it modest. And we actually mentioned this very fact that when we say that a woman should keep her dignity just in a way that she could not be distinguished in every single crowd she goes, we actually mentioned that. We do not mean that a woman must stay at home, or a Muslim woman is just restricted to stay at home to be kept away from social works. No. On the contrary, you can see many Muslim women who are doing wonders all around the world.
Yeah.
Yet they have their hijab, they have their covers.
When you're making yourself center of attraction through your clothing, through your perfumes, or through any other means, you're violating the human rights that are related to yourself.
This is very
true. Because public, men, women out there who are respecting you, who are knowing you, they know you because of your dresses.
Exactly.
They know you because of your appearance. I'm trying to say, when you make yourself center of attraction, the men out there, the women out there, because sometimes women try to make themselves a center of attraction by just removing their hijab.
Appearance is the thing that represents you to other people.
No, it's actually when you remove your hijab and you made yourself center of attraction through your hair. Because when we said do not make yourself center of attraction, it does not limit to your clothes only.
Yeah.
It limits even to your, it goes back to you, what kind of perfumes you use, and also your behavior. Because I have seen, Asma, people out there who actually use very modest clothes, very long clothes, very good appearance. But in their behavior and talks, they always try to be center of attraction.
Exactly.
This signals that they have some weaknesses in the families. They have some lack of love in the family. Mm-hmm. Go and treat yourself that way. Go and talk to your partners. Go and talk to your parents to give you more attention. Do not seek that attention in this society. That's really, really bad. You know, you as mothers give maximum attention to your daughters. Give maximum love to your daughters. You as mothers definitely love your daughters, but express that love. Because until and unless you're not expressing that love, what will happen is that you're creating troubles for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to seek that love outside, one or the other way. Now we're talking about human rights violations. What I meant was that people out there, when you make yourself center of attraction, they know you by your hair. They know you by your, I don't know, makeup appearance, or they know you by your center of attraction dresses. And whenever you have to prove yourself out in the society, you always have to go and make those expenses to get the center of attraction dresses, to get the same perfumes, to get, I don't know, just in order to show yourself.
Yeah.
The inner you is getting suffocated.
Exactly.
The inner you is dying. And this is the biggest kind of human rights violation you can do to yourself.
Yeah.
So in order to make yourself known in the society, make yourself known to your friends, use intellect.
Exactly.
Let them know
prove
you through
your
intellect.
Character.
Let them know you through your heart. Let them know you through
your
actions.
Yeah.
Not through your appearance. Not
exactly.
through your appearance. That's the biggest kind of violation you're doing to yourself. And the, unfortunately, those who raise the slogans of feminism and all, they're trying to cover this and make the story upside down.
They're deviating the true story. Well, yeah, that's very true. And just to mention another thing, well, actually, this is the gist of what we were talking about. We as human beings who live in the same society, in the same country, in the same city, whatever community we have just something that is called domino effect.
Yeah.
Whatever that I do is not going to just have an effect on my personal life. It's going to affect another person, another person, another person. So if the women themselves are trying to make the world go in a direction that the other citizens of this world, which mean the men, look only at their appearance.
It's not about my choice, my body.
Exactly.
It's about keeping modesty of your brothers.
So it's going to be the same thing as you just mentioned. So if these women are changing the situation, they are violating the rights of other women.
Exactly.
Which is so much wrong.
Yeah.
And I hope for an intellectual society in which all men and women know what they're doing, and for Muslim ladies to rock it on and more and more. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and here is a thought-stimulating saying from the Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him. The heart of an ignorant is his mouth, and the mouth of a wise person is in his heart.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Cultural News. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
You have probably seen Penny Farthings in old books and cartoons, the antique bicycle with one very large and one small wheel. Now, this peculiar bike actually brings fans together in Prague each year to show off their skills. The cyclists were all dressed in historical costumes as they rode in formation at Letno Park in Prague. The traditional one-mile race competition was also held to see who could go the fastest while keeping their balance. The riders, mostly elderly men, said they came there for just the fun of it. Penny farthings were invented around 1870 and were popular until models with two evenly sized wheels and chains were developed. Most bicycles today are based on this design. Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of a tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years BC.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored. I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lap component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests at the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka, 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanakas gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest's ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula Line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula Line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Yusuf Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's snowland at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on 2 major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and, you know, the subjects. And so, and of course, we have, because there is the Mississippi River. Harper, which is the place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for today, we're going to speak about paradise in the view of Islam. So I invite you to be with us. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Thursday, is the 15th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Salam and peace to these verses of the Holy Quran. Chapter Al-Waqi'a. Verses 17 to 21.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yatoofu alayhim wildanum mukhalladun.
There will circulate among them young boys made eternal.
Bi akwabin wa abariqa wa ka'sim min ma'in.
With vessels, pitchers, and a cup of wine from a flowing spring.
La yusadda'un 'anha wa la yunzifun.
No headache will they have therefrom, nor will they be intoxicated.
وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِّمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ.
And fruit of what they select.
وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ.
And the meat of fowl from whatever they desire.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
That the people of paradise reclining on those magnificent thrones are in a safe place, around whom boys and youth of fair face and good character, possessing utmost beauty, move. They were originally created in paradise and are immortal. They serve the people of paradise with jugs and glasses, with or without handle, namely all kinds of vessels. The people of paradise drink from bowls filled with the wine of paradise and pure water, which may allude to the water of springs flowing in paradise. Such wine causes neither headache nor intoxication.
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Paradise in the View of a Slum. That is the title of this part. Paradise is the dwelling place for the obedient believers of Allah in the hereafter. Indeed, Allah has described for us life in paradise by saying, surely the paradise which He created for His obedient servants is as wide as the width of the heavens and the earth. In it there will be trees and fruits, of which their abundance will not be curtailed. Springs flowing with delicious liquids such as nectar and ginger, rivers flowing with pure sweet water, honey and milk, different kinds of food and meats which mankind likes and enjoys. There will exist everything which the believers desire, including beautiful sights and views that are comforting to the hearts. Their dwellings will be beautiful, great palaces and elegant mansions, furnished with exquisite carpet with various decorations.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about heaven and the abiders of heaven, Al-Jannah. Alam Majlisi and one of his students, that is Sayyid Ni'matullah Al-Jazairi, have appealed to a hadith from Imam Radha alayhi salam to show that the states of the afterlife should be measured with those of this world. They maintain that this doctrine implies the corporeality of the heaven. In response to a question by Imran al-Sabi, and as an argument for the invisibility of God for human beings in the heaven, Imam Radha alayhi salam said that one can argue for what happens in the heaven only by what happens in this world. According to the interpretation of Allama al-Jlisi and his student Sayyid al-Jazairi, this implies the principle that the states of the afterlife should be measured with those of this world. So let's not actually dive into this theological arguments that is quite a lengthy discussion, but just let's refer to one of these discussion, and inshallah we shall skip this discussion to go and listen and talk about the characteristics of the abiders and residents of the heaven.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Pleasures of paradise, free from all impurities. From among the pleasures of paradise, we can name being free from all impurities. Paradise is free from all impurities of this world. Eating and drinking in this life results in the need for exertion and its associated unpleasant odors. If a person drinks wine in this world, he loses his mind. Women in this world menstruate and give birth, which are sources of pain and hurt. Paradise is free from all of these discomforts. Its people will not suffer. The water of paradise does not become brackish, and its milk never changes in flavor. The prophet answered the person when they asked how the people of paradise will relieve themselves. They relieve themselves by perspiring through their skins, and its fragrance will be that of musk, and all stomachs will have become lean. One lesson for achieving paradise is recognizing your blessings. Realize all the blessings Allah is giving you right now, even one glass of water. Increase in saying Alhamdulillah. The dwellers of hell will call out to the dwellers of paradise, throw down some water to us or some of what Allah has provided you with. They will say Allah has forbidden them to the disbelievers. Quran, chapter 7, verse 50.
So the ni'am of al-Jannah, the Quran says, أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ. It is hidden from us because the mind cannot understand it. It is beyond our comprehension. This is how great al-Jannah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He tries to give us few glimpses of Al-Jannah. It is beyond our imagination, but still we have a plethora of verses and ahadith where Allah and the Messenger of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, they try to give us an incomplete understanding of Jannah, a small glimpse, a small sense of Jannah, so we can be enticed, so we can be encouraged to seek Al-Jannah. And usually our ulama, they divide the ni'am, the beauties of Jannah, into two parts. The sensual pleasures, meaning the materialistic pleasures of Jannah, and ni'amul madiyya, and then al-ni'amul ma'nawiyya, the spiritual pleasures of Al-Jannah. The Quran tells us two general laws and rules about the ni'am of Al-Jannah. The first law of Al-Jannah, memorize it. The Holy Quran says about Jannah, when many people used to ask the Holy Prophet, what do we have in Jannah? I want this, I want that, I crave this, I crave that. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us a general law and rule of Al-Jannah. The Quran tells us about Jannah, فِيهِ أَوْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. Everything that your heart desires, everything that you crave, you will find it in Jannah. So you don't even have to ask me what's in Jannah. Just want it. Just think about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you want. Maybe someone here in the Quran, and I'll speak about this in a few nights, Allah doesn't mention the new pleasures of Jannah. For example, a young person may come and tell me, can I have a Lamborghini in Jannah? Or better yet, can I have, for example, a Bugatti in Jannah? The Quran says, مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. If you crave it, if you want it, you'll have it. Maybe I want to be a mermaid that swims in the oceans and the rivers of Jannah. Can I have that? Yes. Maybe I want to be SpongeBob and live like him in the ocean. Whatever you want in Jannah, even if it's silly, even if it's wild, it's crazy, you can have it.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs.
chance you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.